You have your Bible this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to try to give you a few things this morning that may be some help to you in the day and age in which we live. We find out that the Word of God is a changeless book, and the things that came to pass in the life of Nehemiah, and in your life and my life, when you try to serve Jesus Christ, they're no different. The opposition is the same. It might come in a little bit different way. And the way that we meet that opposition, as we see in the Word of God, the men of God met it, is the way we need to meet the opposition too. And the devil's no different. He doesn't change. The devil hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden. Still doing the same thing today he done back there with Adam and Eve. And still doing the same thing he done with Nehemiah. Won't be any different. Still doing the same thing he done with Jesus Christ. And it won't be any different with you and me when we try to serve the Lord. So we're going to take Nehemiah chapter 6. We're going to read the entire chapter, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gate, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen thereof, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah the son of Era, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam the son of Berechiah. And they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning, and I pray, Holy Spirit, for strength and for help and for the words to say, that we might garner something, Lord, from your word that you'd give us, that would help us, Lord, in the Christian warfare and in the battle we're in serving Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved us. I'm thankful, Lord, there aren't a one of us in this room this morning deserve to be gone to heaven. We deserve hell, Lord, and in your mercy and your grace, you picked us up and saved us. And, Lord, you've given us the privilege to serve you. And I realize full well, Lord, as it was with Nehemiah, so it is with us. If we're going to do something for you, we're going to have opposition. And I pray you'd help us to see in that Nehemiah's life this morning how he overcame that opposition and how you overcame the same kind of opposition, that we might not get discouraged and quit and give up, but keep on going on. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to take this text this morning, probably the most important words that we read are found in verse 15, where we read, "So the wall was finished." The wall was finished. These words tell you and me and introduce to you and me the method which God used in building up the walls of Jerusalem and how the work was brought to a triumphant conclusion by Nehemiah. And it gives you and I an insight into the heart of the man of God used to see this task through. And it sounds a note of victory, and in the words where we read, "The wall is finished," we see the intensity of the conflict which Nehemiah had to put up with and endure before the opposition was finally overthrown. Now, there's a twofold explanation to the success of Nehemiah in the work which God called him to do. First of all, in verse 16, where we read, "This work was wrought of God," number one. And number two, the second is the subject of the entire chapter that we just read. Now, there's always a twofold explanation in the Word of God for the success of any work that's going to get done for God. And the one is divine, and the other is human. Any work that's going to be done for Jesus Christ first has to be wrought by God. And secondly, there has to be an unreserved and a yielded Christian heart on the part of the human as an instrument that God can use. And it's the human side this morning in Nehemiah's life that I want to deal with mainly. But I want to say this, that on the divine side, Nehemiah triumphed in what he set out to do because he was doing a work that God had initiated. And because God initiated the work that Nehemiah was supposed to do, God empowered him to do it. And the work would never have succeeded unless God had begun the work. Unless the origin of this work had been in the heart of God, it would never have been laid upon the heart of Nehemiah. And I'd remind you this morning that we're not here to initiate or to begin programs for God. We're here this morning to carry out a program that God has already established in His Word. And the passion this morning on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is to find a child of His who desires to be filled with the Spirit of God, and he desires to take God's plan to a multitude of lost sheep without a shepherd. And that program and that plan comes from God Almighty. And it's to be laid upon our heart, and He's looking and desiring for hearts this morning like Nehemiah's heart that are willing to carry out the job that He has for us to do. God's great longing with Nehemiah, as with us, is that men would be saved. This world in which you and I are living this morning is fast ripening for judgment. You and I know well this morning that there's an hour coming, and it's coming soon, and the grace of God will be over and judgment will begin. And the great desire on the heart of God this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ's great desire that was 2,000 years ago when He hung on that cross, is that men be rescued from an everlasting hell. And that desire this morning in the heart of Jesus Christ, as it was when He hung on the cross, is for you and me to carry that gospel to that man and that woman who has never heard it. That man and that woman that might be your neighbor, that might be your friend at work, the desire in the heart of Jesus Christ this morning that you as His child carry out His plan and carry out His work, no matter what the opposition was, just like Nehemiah did in building the walls, that that man, that woman, that child may not die in an eternal hell. And that job this morning is yours and it's mine. In order to accomplish His plan, God has given us the privilege to be used by Him. And Jesus Christ longs this morning for you and for me to be usable. And if our lives this morning aren't clean vessels, then He can't use us. This morning, if you're not willing to be used, it will not stop God's plan. If you're not willing and I'm not willing to be used, it only means that we'll be cast aside, that we'll be put on the shelf, and God will find someone who's willing to be used by Him to fulfill His purpose. If you and I ever get to the point where we think we're somebody and God can't get along without us, forget it. If you don't want to serve Jesus Christ and I don't want to serve Him, and if you and I don't want to try to win souls to Jesus Christ, God's got somebody out there that will. He's got somebody that will. And God took hold of this man, Nehemiah, and found in Nehemiah a man who was a clear channel. And the Bible says He gave him a job to do, and the Bible says he completed it because the Bible says the wall was finished. And on the one hand, we have a plan that was originated in heaven. On the other hand, there was a man that was totally abandoned to the will of God, no matter what came. You and I know, if you've ever read the book of Nehemiah, what all he went through before he reached the point in the chapter that we read today, the slander and the threatening and all the things that were brought about against him by Tobiah and Sanballat as they began to lay that wall back in earlier chapters. Now we find today something a little bit different. We saw earlier these forms of attack that came to Nehemiah as he was building the wall. And now today we see that the wall is very near completion. And I want you to look with me this morning in this chapter at three different forms of attack that Nehemiah had to face in chapter 6. As I said earlier, we're living in a day when God's redemptive grace and time is running out. And we're living in a day when judgment is near and Satan knows full well the job is almost complete. And he's putting forth all the opposition that he can to keep people from going to heaven and to get into hell. You think the devil for one second this morning don't know that the second coming of Jesus Christ is near? He knows it. He knows it. And the devil knew in that day and that hour that Nehemiah just about had the wall completed. It was finished. The gates had to be hung yet. He had not yet been defeated. And yet Satan didn't look at that wall and say, well, I'll have to give up. It's done. I'll quit. I'll lay off Nehemiah because, man, forget it. No, he didn't. When Nehemiah reached the point of building the wall that he reached today, Satan had not yet quit. And there's three things Satan brought against him that I want you to see in today's chapter. First of all is this, I want you to see the friendship of the world. We saw in earlier chapters, and if you've read the book of Nehemiah, and as I've taught here from Nehemiah before, how that when Nehemiah was beginning to build, the chief weapons of the devil were scorn and laughter and mocking and ridicule and threatening, and none of them worked. And the devil, having been defeated in these attacks, he comes on with a new method in verse 4 of our text, which we read today, and he comes to Nehemiah four times with this request, come and let us meet together in the plain. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? I mean, after all the scorn and ridicule that he has given to Nehemiah, he comes to him with a sort of a pleasant request. He says, come, let us meet together in the plain. And Nehemiah, I want you to come down to our level is what he's saying. He's saying to Nehemiah, you've just about got the wall finished. I want you to come down and I want you to talk with us a little bit. What he's saying to Nehemiah is don't be so fanatical. Don't be bigoted. Don't be narrow-minded. Just come down on the plane and talk with us for a little bit. Is that the kind of talk that's familiar to your ears? The devil comes to you and he says, well, oh, okay, you're saved. You're saved, you're a child of God. You go to church on Sunday morning, and you might pray once in a while, and you might read the Word of God once in a while. Now, you've done your bit, now just take it easy. Just take it easy. Don't be fanatical. And you take Satan, and this is one of his methods of attack. He's always saying, come down. Come on down. Let's talk a while. And he wants you to come down, and when you come down, he holds out some fascinating bait to you. And in one word, do you know what Satan's saying to Nehemiah when he says to come down and let's talk? He's saying, let's compromise. Let's compromise. Come on down and let's talk a while. Don't be fanatical, Christian. Don't be crazy. Don't let the world think you're a bunch of nuts. You can be saved and you can do a few things, but come on down, let's talk a while. You know what he's saying? He's saying, let's compromise. He's saying to you, you can be a Christian if you like, but don't be fanatical. You know what I think? I don't think there'll be any fanatics at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't think there'll be any fanatics there. The world looks at you and says you're fanatical and you're crazy and you're all wrapped up in this work of serving the Lord, but I'll guarantee you one thing, they can say what they want to, but at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll find out you won't be a fanatic there. You won't be a fanatic there. And when you get to see those souls in heaven that are trophies of grace because you witnessed to them and you dealt with them and you prayed for them and you talked to them, you won't be a fanatic at the judgment seat of Christ. But the devil's saying to you today, just like he said to Nehemiah, you're getting carried away, Nehemiah, and just come on down in the plane and let's talk a while. I mean, the devil says, surely as a Christian, hang on to a few of your worldly friends. You don't have to let them all go. You know what I found out after I got saved? You don't have to let them go. They let you go. I mean, if you start living for Jesus Christ, your friends that you had that are lost, they'll let you go. But the devil says, oh, just hang on to a few of them for a while. It won't hurt to be a little permissive. Won't hurt to do a few things that the world does as a Christian. And the devil says, now, if you don't do anything but read that Bible and pray, witness, go to church, you know what's going to happen? You get all this stuff about God in you, and you'll go crazy. The devil says, you'll go crazy. You know what? I think it's just the opposite of a lot of Christians today. You've got a lot of Christians that aren't spending any time in the Word of God, aren't spending any time praying, aren't being faithful on the wall like Nehemiah was. And you know what you got? You got Christians ending up in psychiatrist's office today just like worldly people. You know that? And that guy will tell you, he'll set you in an office and he'll tell you, you've got to go out and find yourself. And you've got to this and you've got to that. And he'll charge you $100 an hour before he goes out and jumps off a bridge himself. That guy's going to help you? Wow. I've always said if them guys are right, I'm glad I'm crazy. You know, that's weird. But that's what the devil's going to say. You get all wrapped up and fanatical in this stuff about Jesus Christ, you're going to go crazy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to me, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That Bible says to you and me this morning, if you're wrapped up in the work of Jesus Christ, don't you come down and don't you go out on the plane and don't you get out there and don't you compromise with the devil, because that Bible tells me this morning, if you're wrapped up in Jesus Christ, you've got a sound mind. That's what God said. Now, it depends on who you want to listen to. If you want to think God's right or if you want to think the psychiatrist is right, whichever you want. But the Bible says what I just read to you, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you know what happens? A compromising Christian becomes a useless channel for God's blessing. Useless when you compromise. And a compromising Christian is in God's way instead of being a blessing to humanity. You know the first thing the devil wanted to do? And he acted nice. He didn't act cruel. He just told Nehemiah, come on down in the plain of Ono and let's talk. Let's talk a while. And that's what the devil will do to you and he'll do to me. He'll get you alone and he'll take your thoughts and he'll play with your thoughts and he'll tell you that it won't hurt if you just compromise just a little bit. Just a little bit. Then I want you to see something else. Not being able to get Nehemiah to compromise, they tried slander. They said Nehemiah was doing what he's doing for his own glory. They said Nehemiah was trying to set up a kingdom of his own there in Jerusalem. So he wouldn't compromise. Nehemiah wouldn't come down. He wouldn't compromise. They're going to try to get him another way. You know what I thought about compromising? We've just been through, 12 months. And it got worse in the last 6 months. And the last 2 months. And the last month. And the last 6 weeks. You talk about compromise. Unless your head's been was buried in the sand during the elections and the campaign. Boy, you talk about compromise. I mean, I listened to some of them guys campaigning and I thought, man, when they got done talking, I'm not too sure I want to go to heaven. It's going to be so good here on earth, I don't know if I want to go to heaven or not. Well, them guys promised me everything to get elected. They promised me everything. And I mean from the top to the bottom, they promised me anything. You talk about compromising. I told the kids back there last Sunday morning, I said, you know what, if you were to sum up in a few words what you think the campaign was from top to bottom and all that rhetoric that we listened to, and you listen close, and I said, it's a sad thing when this nation that's supposed to be a Christian nation and a God-fearing nation, and you listen to all that campaign and it went on, and I don't care which side you're on, I mean every side, and I turned to Proverbs chapter 6 last Sunday morning, and I read to him from Proverbs chapter 6, six things that God hates, yea, seven. And you know what? That sums up the campaigns that went on. You know, one of them birds cared what God thinks. All they wanted to do was get your vote. And brother, they lied and they bore false witness. And they done every one of those things that God hates to compromise to get your vote. And the devil came to Nehemiah and he said, come on, let's just talk. Let's just sit down and talk. And Nehemiah wouldn't do it. So they came to him and they sent a letter to him and they said, hey, we hear that you're doing this for God because you want to be a king, because you want to be somebody, because you want to get the glory. That's what we hear. And when you try to witness, have you ever had somebody that came back at you and said, well, you think you're better than me? You self-righteous people. And you know what? There's been many a Christian that's sought to live a pure and godly and a holy life, and they've been brought down to shame because somebody spread a rumor about them that wasn't true. A lot of Christians have been brought down that way. A lot of them. And they came to Nehemiah and they said, yeah, we know why you're doing this. We know why you're faithful. We know why you won't give in. We know why you're so strong towards God, because you want something out of it. We've heard you want to be a king. And you know what? God forbid that we should ever be a tool in Satan's hands to spread scandal about some Christian. You know, if you ever hear something about a Christian, you better pray that God will take and set a watch over your lips and mine too. And if you hear something about a Christian, before you take it and spread it to the brethren or anybody else, you know what you better do with that thing? You better sit down and talk to Jesus about it. You want to talk to somebody about something you've heard about another Christian? You go and talk to Jesus about it. Because I'll tell you one thing, there's been rumors and lies and things spread about Christians, about things that they never done that have brought that Christian down to the ground and thrown them entirely out of the race. And the sad thing is, it's been done mostly by other Christians. And you want to watch, like the psalmist said, when that guy comes to you with butter dripping off of his lips, you want to watch him because he's got a knife in his hand to put it in your back. And you better be careful. They came to Nehemiah and they said, hey, Nehemiah, we know why you're so faithful. You're so faithful because you want something out of it. You think you're better than us. You think you're going to be king. That's what we hear. Then thirdly, they came to Nehemiah. He not only faced the world's friendship and their slander, but he faced the scandal of the world's religion. In verse 10 of our text, we read here in verse 10, it says, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And having failed at all else, now we see the enemy coming as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And the enemy comes to Nehemiah, and he says here to Nehemiah, you profess to be a prophet. The fellow that came to Nehemiah professed to be a prophet. And he told Nehemiah to flee and to shut himself up in the temple, lest the enemy should slay him. You know what Nehemiah said? Nehemiah said that he would not go into a place where he wouldn't have to face persecution. And Nehemiah said he wouldn't go into a place where he didn't have to carry a cross. He wouldn't go into a place where he never had to worry about the opinions of other people concerning his stand. Nehemiah said, no, I won't go in the temple, and I won't go in there, and I won't hide. What Satan said to Nehemiah, he says to you this morning, he says to you, go ahead and be a Christian. Why don't you just kind of be a secret Christian? No persecution, no cross, no adverse opinion. Why don't you just come in the temple and hide? Why don't you just come in the temple here on Sunday morning and even, hey, Sunday night once in a while? And boy, not too often, but once in a great while, maybe you can sneak in on Wednesday night and hide there. But don't carry no cross and don't bear no burden. And make sure you don't do anything to bring persecution upon yourself. And by the grace of God, Nehemiah finished the wall. Because of the way he answered each of the methods of attack that came to him. When the suggestion came to Nehemiah to compromise, Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah said, I can't come into the plain of oh no and talk. I've got work to do. And when the devil tries to seduce you and get you to compromise with your stand for Jesus Christ, you and I got to answer him the same way Nehemiah did. I've got work to do. I don't have time to come down in the plain. You know when the devil can work on your mind and my mind? Is when it's idle. When it's idle. The devil begins to work. And he begins to move. And he begins to put thoughts in there. And Nehemiah told him, I don't have time. I've got a work to do. And when they began to slander him and spread rumors about him, Nehemiah said, there are no such things done as thou sayest. But thou feignest them out of thine own heart. O God, strengthen my hand. And you know what? Nehemiah didn't turn against God when they spread slanderous rumors about him and said things that weren't true. He just went to God and said, O God, strengthen my hand. And then he faced their scandal when they told him that he should go and he should hide in the temple. And Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee? But you know, in our text today, we'd miss the whole point of this text today, and we look at Nehemiah's life, if we didn't see here a shadow of the same things that Jesus Christ faced. First of all, God had only one way to fulfill His redemptive plan, only one way. He only had one way to save my soul and your soul from hell, and that was the complete willingness of His only begotten Son, who had been with him since time and eternity. And Jesus Christ came down in order to channel God's will for our redemption. And Jesus Christ faced what Nehemiah faced, and he came down and he met with the same things that Nehemiah met with. They said to Jesus Christ, come down. Remember when they said that to Jesus Christ? They said to him, come down. They spat on him, they mocked him, and as he hung upon the cross, they shouted, if thou be the Son of God, come down. Come down. I mean, when the devil comes to you and he wants you to compromise your stand and your witness and your testimony for Jesus Christ, you remember it was done to a greater than you. On the cross, they said to Jesus Christ, come down. Come on down. To Nehemiah, the devil said, come on down. Come on down to the plain of Ono. Come on down. Nehemiah said, I cannot come down for I'm doing a great work. And Jesus Christ had come down from the cross. There wouldn't have been salvation for one single individual in this room this morning Every one of us in this room this morning would have been doomed to an eternal hell if Jesus Christ had come down. Like the devil said, come down. It won't hurt. Come down. Then secondly, they slandered Nehemiah and they slandered Jesus when they said he was a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, and they said he was a friend of sinners. And they took Jesus Christ and they misrepresented his motives time and time again. Time and time again they accused him falsely. But the Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And I wonder this morning that maybe somebody's been slandering you. Maybe they've been talking about you critically and unkindly and wrongfully. And I wonder this morning if you'll revile and find a way to lash back at them, or will you, by God's grace, take it for Jesus' sake? Boy, it's easy in this flesh, isn't it? When somebody accuses you of something that is not true, and there's rumors going around, and they're slandering you, and you're out there trying to do the best you can, it's awful easy for this flesh to just rise up, isn't it, and say, go to hell. You guys go to hell. If you don't want to listen to the gospel, go to hell. We don't care. Boy, I'll tell you, you and I have never been in a position where Jesus Christ is in. You think you and I have been in a rough position because they mock us a little bit with words? And maybe since you've been a Christian, maybe there's been a time when you've been slandered and wrongfully accused of doing things you haven't done. And yet we let that old flesh take over and revile and lash back. If anybody had ever had a reason to lash back, it would have been Jesus, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine Jesus hanging on that cross in all the pain and agony and suffering, and those fellows down there saying, come on down. Thou be the Son of God, come on down. And Jesus Christ could have said, go to hell. Instead he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, when you and I come to a time where we think that we need to lash back and we need to give it up and throw it away, we need to think of Jesus Christ on the cross when they said, come down. Come on down. And he didn't. Then thirdly, Nehemiah faced the scandal of the world's easy religion. Jesus Christ went and met the devil. The devil tried to keep him from the cross. The devil tried to persuade Jesus Christ to take the easy way out. But you know, though, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, could have called 12 legions of angels to come to his aid. Jesus Christ refused to flee. Jesus Christ on that cross, he was able to say, it is finished, and the work was done. I look at Nehemiah, and I look in this chapter today, and the devil is still after Nehemiah. He hasn't given up. He hasn't quit. He'll never quit until you're with the Lord Jesus Christ in death or the rapture takes place. He's not going to quit. And yet I see through everything that Nehemiah went through, he could say in our chapter today, so the wall was finished. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross and rebuking and put away all that the devil brought against him could hang on that cross, and in death he could say, it is finished. It is finished. And you know what? I hope this morning that you and I, when we come to the end of our journey, we can say with Nehemiah, the wall was finished. I hope we won't have to say, well, I had some slander, and I had some rebuke, and I made some compromises, and so when the trump sounds or we're taken out in death, we have to say the wall didn't get finished because I quit. Nehemiah could say, the wall is finished. And Jesus Christ from the cross proclaimed, it is finished. And I just wonder this morning, you and I as Christians, how far you and I are willing to go with the Lord and seeing his work down here through to a finish. You know, he wants Christians this morning who will go all the way. Not part way, not halfway, not three-fourths of the way. Jesus Christ wants some Nehemiahs in this day and age. Jesus Christ has a work for you and me to do. Jesus Christ just didn't save our souls to let us hear and to sit and let time go by until the rapture comes or we go out in death. He's got a job for us to do. But if you're going to do it, it's going to cost you something. But I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this at the end of his battle, at the end of his Christian warfare, at the end of his ridicule and mocking, and at the end of the time when he would not compromise, Paul could say this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'd ask you this morning, Christian, if you're building the wall, if you're working, if you're steady at it, if you're faithful at it, don't let the devil come and get you to quit through compromise or through scandal or through anything else that he might bring upon you. You answer the devil this morning when he comes the same way that Nehemiah answered him. Nehemiah answered him, I've got a work to do. I've got a work to do. Brother Bemis, when he was in here, you know, he said, Brother Bemis been here, you know, he said out at his church out there, they're called a cult. You know why they're called a cult? Because they're just living for Jesus Christ, that's all. And I don't know if this place is being called a cult yet or not, but as days go by and if Jesus tarries, you probably will be. Unless you compromise. You know how you can get to keep, be kept from calling a cult and wacky and crazy and a bunch of nuts in this place? Just come on down to the plain of Ono and we'll have a little talk and we'll compromise. I get shocked sometimes when you talk about things that Christians are dipping their colors and Christians are compromised. And I look at the churches around this town and it breaks my heart when I look at churches in the paper and I see them bringing men into their pulpits. And these are churches that used to preach this book and believe this book and did not compromise years and years ago. And I see a guy coming into the pulpit of that church that don't even think the blood of Jesus Christ was necessary. He thinks his death was sufficient, but not the blood. And boy, when I see him bringing guys into a pulpit like that, into a church that's supposed to be a Bible-believing, God-fearing church, uncompromising, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And I'll tell you what, that's all you need to do. Things have been going good around here. They're going good. And all you and I need to do is listen to the devil when he says, come on down to the plain of Ono and we'll talk a little bit. You know why? You know why he'll do that to you? Because he knows that the end is soon. He knows that soon we're going to be out of here. And if he can just keep you and I and this church and this place from doing a little bit something for Jesus Christ, if we can let a few more souls go to hell that we would have got if we hadn't compromised, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants the same thing from you and me that he wanted from Nehemiah and that he wanted from Jesus Christ. He just wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. He wants you to throw in the towel. How about let's be a Nehemiah, okay? Let you and me, by the grace of God, be a Nehemiah in these last days and stand fast, okay? Lord, I'm just thankful for your word, and I'm thankful, Lord, that you didn't compromise and you didn't give up and you didn't quit and you didn't listen to the devil. And I'm so thankful for that because if you had, Lord, I'd be going to hell today. And I pray you'd help us to realize, Lord, in these last days that if we compromise and give in and listen to the devil, and let things said about us get us down and get us to quit. There'll be souls that'll die and go to hell because we quit. And I pray you'd help each of us in this room this morning, Lord, to remember somebody in our lives that did not give up and won us to Jesus Christ because of their faithfulness. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and help us to serve you. And help us, Lord, to be clean vessels that you can take us and use us. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Stick around for 11 o'clock. If you...